ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، الحمد لله. Today is the 13th of May in the year 2018. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 19th session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Hud, alayhi salatu wasalam. And I've reached verse 89 of the blessed Surah. So inshallah today up to and including verse 95. So verse 89, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And O my people, let not my descent, I from you, cause you to sin, lest you suffer a fate similar to that of the people of Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam, or of Hud, alayhi salatu wasalam, or of Salih, alayhi salatu wasalam. Nor are the people of Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam, far off from you. So, like I mentioned last week, this is now talking about the narrative of Shu'ib, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he's reasoning now with his people. So what did he mean when he said, let not my descent cause you to sin? Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam appeals to them as man to man. Because I differ from you, do not think I do not love you or feel for you. Let it not drive you into obstinacy and sin. I see things that you do not. My vision takes in the fate of previous generations who sinned and perished on account of their sins. Turn therefore to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. So what simply the Holy Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam was telling his people is that I'm not being antagonistic towards you. I'm not trying to cause you harm. He goes, I'm guiding you to the truth. And he goes, do not let this be a cause of dissension from me. And then he warned them of a fate similar to the nations before. But when he mentions Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, he adds something. وَمَا قَوْمُ لُوتٍ مِنْكُمْ بِبَعِيدٍ. Nor are the people of Lut far off from you. So what did he mean by this, alayhi salatu wasalam? So, he mentions, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, in his Qisas al-Anbiya, he mentions this as three meanings. It is said that it refers to the time between the two. Meaning there's not much of a time gap between you and the nation of Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam. Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam reminded his people of the end of the people of Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam, and how close it was when they rejected their prophet. A second meaning. A second opinion suggests it is the place, the physical distance that is meant here. Meaning they're not far from you. To some others, the similarity is number three in attributes, behavior and action, such as highway robbery, cheating people secretly and openly using a number of tricks. All of these sayings may be combined because these people were not far from the people of Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam, in time, place and in character. So this is the eloquence of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. Like I mentioned, he was the auditor of the prophets. So Hafiz ibn Kathir said, he put it into one sentence. He goes, the people of Lut are not far from you. Meaning, they were close to you in time, you know what happened to them. They are close to you in distance, you know what happened to them. And you know how they acted, you know what happened to them. So he's explaining rationally to these people what path they're taking, right, to destruction. Then in the next verse, verse 90, he says, but ask forgiveness of your Lord and turn to him, I in repentance. For my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed full of mercy and he is the loving. So in this holy verse, he instructs them to do two things. One is istighfar, wastaghfiru. Then he says, thumma tubu, and repent. The two separate things. Istighfar is easier. Tawbah is to completely repent from sins, but both he mentioned. Then he says, my Lord is full of mercy, Rahim, and Wadud, he is the loving. So now this is only one of two places where Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions this attribute i.e. that he is the Lubk. The other place is Surah 85, verse 14. So in Surah Buruj, Surah 85, verse 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there as well. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ And he is the off-forgiving, the loving. Ibn Abbas explained radiyallahu anhuma in Ibn Jarir Ibn Kathir's tafsir. It means Al-Habib, i.e. he is the intensely loving. So this is one of the attributes of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only two places it's mentioned. In Surah 85 verse 14 and Surah 11 verse 90 where Shu'aib mentions it, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is important. The reason being is because the Christians sometimes lie or out of ignorance say that God in Islam has got 99 names, not one of them is the loving. That's a lie. That's one of his names, Al-Wadud, the loving. It means the one who has intense love, i.e. for his creation. Mawlana Maududi rahmatullah alayh, he comments upon this attribute. He says in his tafsir of this verse, let us consider the same thing from another point of view. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created love in the hearts of the mother and the father for their children. Without this parental love, they would never have shown the care and the sacrifice they shower on their children. Nay, they would have even become enemies because of the trouble and inconvenience they have to bear for it. From this, it is quite evident that the love of the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of this parental affection for his own creation must be far, far greater than this parental love. So Shaykh Maududi rahmatullah beautifully says that why do parents have such love and affection for their children when they make them go through such hardships? Allah Ta'ala has put that in their heart. So logically, the one who puts it into your heart, then what about his love for the creation? Have you understood? If the one who's put that love into your heart for your children, then what about the one who's giving you that love? So he is the loving. That's one way to look at this. And of course, there's a famous hadith in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allah the Almighty and Glorious has shared His mercy into 100 parts. One of those parts, only one, He sent down onto the earth. And with that, you will notice, and He mentioned an animal. An animal shows love to his child. And He says, this is the one part on the earth. The other 99 He will show to the believers on the Day of Judgment. So if you combine, simply put, all the love and affection that the creation has, whatever life form, for its children, that's 1% of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's incomparable. And then in one report, Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one that remained will also be added. 100% mercy will be shown to the believers on the Day of Judgment. So note two places this attribute is mentioned. And which Prophet was given the honor to utter that attribute in the Quran? Shu'aib. He mentioned to his people, turn to him, ask forgiveness, do tawbah, he is the loving. In other words, he will forgive you. Also, there's a report. The hadith is in Tirmidhi and Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 4, 8-9 of the Old English translation. And this is a summary. On the day of the house, when Uthman, the third Khalif, was surrounded, radiyallahu, he advanced his face from the upper chamber and he said, do not kill me, my people. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you kill me, you will never be able to say your salat together, nor would you be able to perform jihad against your real enemies. A rift would emerge amongst you, and you would become like this. And he indicated by putting his fingers across. Thereafter, he recited these verses, i.e. verse 89 and 90 of Surah Hud. O my people, let not my descent from you cause you to sin, lest you suffer a fate similar to the people of Nuh, Hud or Salih, nor are the people of Lut far away from you, alayhi salatu wasalam. But ask forgiveness of your Lord and turn to Him in repentance, for my Lord is indeed full of mercy, the loving. Look how beautiful. These verses fit like the glove on the hand for Uthman. They were trying to kill him. So he goes, if you kill me, this is what will happen. You will be disunited. Fitna will erupt. And that's exactly what happened. Secondly, the jihad won't be against the real enemies. You'll be fighting each other. And he goes, you'll become like this. And he separated his hands. And look how amazing. The same thing that Shu'aib said to his people exactly fits for Uthman. If you look at the wording. Oh my people, wa ya qawmi, let not my descent from you cause you to sin. I don't kill me. You would sin. Then you would suffer the fate similar to the previous prophets. Ask forgiveness, turn in repentance. Allah Ta'ala is full of mercy, all loving. And that also shows how acquainted he was with the Quran. He was thinking in his blessed mind, what is the most appropriate verses to reason with these people? And these verses came to mind. Imagine, at that critical time in his blessed life, in his 80s, just before he got martyred, radiyallahu anhu. Verse 91. They said, O Shu'aib, alayhi salatu wasalam, much of what you say, we do not understand. In fact, amongst us, we see you have no strength. Were it not for your family, we should certainly have stoned you. For you have amongst us no great position. So look how amazing. They said, "What most of what you say, we don't understand." Does that mean they didn't understand? No. They didn't want to understand. A prophet is amongst his people. They know him. So they knew this is just kind of arrogance on their part. And they said, you don't have strength. If it wasn't for your family, we would have stoned you, got rid of you. So here, Sayyidina Ali, he explains something. So the report is recorded in Abu al-Sheikh, Kanz al-Umal, volume 1, page 250, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 310 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Ali, he's delivering a lecture, he explains. It often happens that a person becomes angry with another only because of the tribe he belongs to. I can cite to you many verses of the Quran to prove this. He then recited Surah Hud, verse 80. Going back. لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ عَوِي إِلَىٰ رُقْنٍ شَدِيدٍ He, I, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, said, if only I had some might against you, or I could seek protection from a strong pillar. Hazrat Ali explained, رُقْنٍ شَدِيدٍ The strong pillar is a tribe that Lut did not have. Where he lived, alayhi salatu wasalam. I swear by the being whom there is no deity after Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent every prophet as a member of a strong tribe. Hazrat Ali then recited the following verse with regards to Shu'aib. This verse, i.e. verse 91. Wa inna fina da'ifa. He said to his people, oh Shu'aib, we consider you to be a weakling. This they said because Shu'aib was blind. Alayhi salatu wasalam. However, they then added, وَلَوْلَا رَحْدُكَ لَرَجَمْنَاكَ If it were not for your tribe, we would have stoned you. Sayyidina Ali added, radiyallahu anhu, I swear by the being besides whom there is no deity, that rather than fear the supremacy of their Lord, these people were in awe of Shu'aib's tribe. So look how amazing. Lut and Shu'aib, Hazrat Ali quotes their narratives from Surah Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. And Lut alayhi salatu wasalam said, if I had rukn in shadid, if I had a strong pillar, meaning a tribe, I haven't got a tribe, I've moved here. And then he said, Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, his people said, you are weak, meaning he's blind, which I mentioned the previous week. And if it wasn't for your tribe, we would have stoned you. So Hazrat Ali goes, consider. They feared his tribe more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. Literally, these people feared his tribe more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how horrific a condition they were in. Literally, they were spilling wasa in their hearts. You should not bother about him. It's your tribe that's protecting you. Astaghfirullah. And what's the similarity there? Some people now more in awe of the kuffar's arsenally than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah. Shu'aib alayhi salam zumat sunnat. Verse 92, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, O my people, is my family of more consideration with you than Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala? For you cast him away behind your backs with contempt. But verily, my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, encompasses on all sides all that you do. So look how angry now. When does a prophet get angry? Does he get angry for himself? He gets angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did they say to him? If it wasn't for your tribe, we would have killed you. Now his anger is kindled because he's doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, you're showing me more respect to my tribe and you catch your lord bike. Then what does he say? Look at these words he uses, very interesting. Inna rabbi bima ta'amaluna muhit. My lord encompasses all that you do. What is this identical to? If you look at the incident of Badr, Surah 8, verse 47, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the verse, and be not like those who started from their homes insolently to be seen of mankind, to hinder from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Wallahu bima ya'maluna muhita. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses all that you do. The same attribute. So look at the context. When the unbelievers were going out arrogantly, because we will never be defeated, we're going to wipe out Muhammad and his force, we're going to celebrate 3 days, blah blah blah, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, I'm encompassing all that you do, meaning you are actually going to your own destruction. Muhit, exactly the same attribute Shu'aib says to his people, meaning you are hatching a plan. There's something, you're doing something, but that, you fools, is part of your destruction. So that attribute, muhit, Allah Ta'ala uses when the unbelievers are planning something. So look how amazing. You know, if you look at the words, that's why you can't translate. All it says in the translation is, my Lord encompasses all that you do. Oh, what does that mean? Isn't that obvious? Right? But it's the attribute, muhit. Now look at these attributes that Shu'aib is using. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Wadud, the loving. Al-Muhit, he's teaching them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the attributes. Verse 93. And all my people, do whatever you can. I will do my part. Soon will you know who it is and whom descends the penalty of ignominy and who is a liar. And watch you, for I too am watching with you. So now he gives them the ultimatum. Now in Ibn Kathir's tafsir, volume 5, page 104, it mentions that when the Prophet of Allah, Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, despaired of their response, he said, "I'malu ala maqanatikum." Act according to your ability. This means, act according to your current ways. This is actually a severe threat. Inni amil, I am acting also according to what I know. So Hafiz ibn Kathir said this was actually an ultimatum by Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes, do what you're doing. I'm going to continue what I'm doing. Meaning, let's see who's a liar. Whether I'm lying or you're lying. But this was actually a very severe threat. And this was his eloquence that he was using. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Now what does it say right at the end? What did he say to them? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, وَرْتَقِبُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ رَقِيبُ. Watch, I too am watching with you. Now if you turn to another passage, this explains Surah 10, verse 102. So in Surah Yunus, which we went through, Surah 10, verse 102, it mentions there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَهَلْ يَنْتَذِلُونَ إِلَّا مِثْلَ أَيَّامِ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ قُلْ فَانْتَذِلُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُنْتَذِلِينَ. Do they then expect anything but what happened in the days of the men who passed away before them? Say, wait you then, for I too will wait with you. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious is saying, this has happened in the past. You know the fate of the people in the past. So carry on, you wait, I'm also waiting. The same kind of words Allah himself uses against the unbelievers. And this is why there's famous reports, which I've mentioned. Because we got, you know, people always say, why is God not intervening and all this tyranny and oppression is taking place on the earth? He's got power over everything and he can do this and that. So this is the response. So the hadith is in Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-324, Sahih. Zahabi, Sahih. Abu Nu'im al-Hilya 3-253, Tawheeb 2-239. And Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi says, Hassan in As-Sahiha number 831. Our beloved messenger, he was told by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to say to him, O son of Adam, alayhi salatu wa salam, live as you want, for you will certainly die. Love who you want, for you will certainly leave him. So here in this Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, do what you want. I'm not going to get involved. Meaning, I've given you a free will. As soon as Allah ta'ala created free will, it means sins are going to start emerging. Sins only emerge because of free will. Very important to highlight that. Sin didn't just come about. Allah ta'ala created free will. This necessitated sins now. Because you got free will. And we can see it all over the place. Then he says, do what you want, but you will die. Meaning, I'm keeping a strict account of what's taking place. Love who you want, you will leave them. Whatever you love, what do you love? You leave it. So what is Allah Ta'ala really telling you here? Use your intelligence. You will die, therefore live a righteous life. You will love leave everything you love except what? Your deeds. So focus your energy on your good deeds, which will take with you into the grave. So note here, Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam said, watch, I too am watching. Let's see what happens, like we say in English. Let's see what happens. Verse 94. When our decree issued, we saved Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam and those who believe with him by special mercy from ourselves. But the mighty blast did seize the wrongdoers and they lay prostrate in their dwellings by the morning. So now it mentions here the mighty blast. But another very interesting thing is mentioned by the ulama. So Hafiz ibn Kathir, he mentions in his Qisas al-Anbiya. So quoting, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed about their practices and punishments in various different surahs, he mentioned what is appropriate according to its context and rhythm. So stopping the quote. So what is Hafiz ibn Kathir saying? What he's saying is, if you look at the various different surahs mentioning Shu'ayb's end, the people of his nation's end, it mentions different punishments. So Allah Ta'ala mentions different punishments depending upon the context. Then he said, for example, in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, Allah the Almighty mentioned they were seized by an earthquake. Earthquake. Also, his people threatened Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam and the believers with him with expulsion from their town if they do not return to their previous religion. In this context, Surah 7 verse 91, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so an earthquake seized them and they fell lifeless in their abodes. So stopping the quote. So why does Allah ta'ala mention an earthquake in Surah 7 verse 91? The response is because they threatened Shu'ayb. We're going to make you leave this city. This is our city. So Allah Ta'ala gave them the earthquake. Because there you go. It is your city. Bang. Hafiz ibn Kathir then said, but in Surah Hud, which we're going through, alayhi salatu wasalam, due to the context, the mocking, they were mocking Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, when they said, Surah, which we mentioned last week, verse 87, O Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, does your salat command you that we should forsake what our fathers worshipped? So in this context, the blast was mentioned due to their arrogance and mocking. Surah 11 verse 94. So why does the blast mentioned now in verse 94? Because they were mocking him. So Allah Ta'ala goes, you're using your voices to mock my beloved prophet. So Allah Ta'ala goes, here's my voice. Bang. Then Hafiz ibn Kathir said, however, the punishment mentioned in Surah Ash-Shu'ara is that they were overtaken by an overshadowing gloom. An overshadowing gloom. This was appropriate in context. Why? Because they said, in Surah 26, verse 185-8, you are nothing but one who is enchanted. You are nothing but a human like us. Indeed, we think you are a liar. Thus, make a piece of the sky fall on us if you are truthful. He said, my Lord is well aware of what you are doing. But they belied him. So they were taken by the punishment of a day of overshadowing gloom. Verily, it was the torment of a great day. So Stop in the quote. Hafiz Ibn Kathir said, why does it mention in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, Surah 26, they were punished by the overshadowing gloom? Because they asked for it. To make a piece of sky fall on us, or liar. So Allah Ta'ala gave him that. Then Ibn Kathir said something beautiful in his tafsir, volume 5, page 105 of the New English Translation. This is from the intricate secrets. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs all praise and much bounty forever. Because this is the beauty of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala mentions only what's appropriate in context with what he's mentioning at various parts of the Quran. So if somebody goes to you, I don't get it, brother. How were they punished? So you say they were punished by an earthquake, by a blast, and by the overshadowing gloom. So which one is that then? It's all of them. So why does Allah Ta'ala not mention it altogether? Because in context, he mentions the punishment. When he talks about the earthquake, because they were trying to expel Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, because there you go, take your land. When they were mocking him, does your salah tell you to do this? Allah Ta'ala goes, there you go, blast. He goes, cause a piece of the sky to fall on us. He goes, alright, there you go. So now, Ibn Kathir said, this is from the intricate secrets, meaning the Quran's like this. It forces you to think. But we need to now look at what this overshadowing gloom was, because that needs to be clarified. So in Surah 26, verse 189, the details are there. Surah 26, verse 189. So it mentions there, they rejected him. Then the punishment of a day of shadowing, of an overshadowing shadow, seized them. Verily, that was the penalty of a great day. There is a report. In Hakim in his Mustadrak number 4070, Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir in their respective tafsirs. Yazid al-Bahili rahmatullah alayhi relates, I asked Abdullah ibn Abbas about this verse. Radiyallahu anhu. I verse 189. Abdullah ibn Abbas clarified, radiyallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon them thunder and intense heat, and it terrified them. They thus ran fleeing from their houses into the fields. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon them clouds, which shaded them from the sun, and they found it cool and pleasant. Thus they called out to one another until they all had gathered beneath the cooling cloud. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent fire down upon them. This was the punishment of the day of the shadow. He then recited, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily, that was the penalty of a great day. Subhanallah. So simply put, what happened? The first thing that Allah the Almighty and Glorious did to these wretched people was that He made them hear thunder and intense heat. And what do you notice? When clouds gather and there's thunder, it seems to get very hot. It acts like a blanket. And people can't wait for the rain. But this made them so fearful, the lightning and thunder and the heat, they actually went out into the open plains. This is the first thing. When they did that, Allah the Almighty and Glorious then sent upon them the clouds. But these clouds were cool and pleasant. So imagine, they were rushed out and then they went under the cloud and they said, oh, it's fantastic. Like air conditioning. So they were calling everybody, come here, this is beautiful. Come under the cloud. When they all gathered under the cloud, Allah Ta'ala destroyed them with fire. He goes, this was the punishment, Yawmizullah, the day of the overshadowing shadow. Why were they given this? Because the fruit cakes asked for it. Cause a piece of sky to fall upon us. So this was another punishment. So now, just to add this, it's important. Ibn Jarir says in his tafsir, that when Ibn Abbas was asked about this punishment of the shadow, he goes, nobody knows. If anybody says, because he's mistaken. So a person goes, but he gave the explanation. So the response is, he goes, this is part of the deep, there's no reference to it in any other part of the Quran or the Sunnah. So Ibn Abbas himself gave the clarification, but he warned people. He goes, look, really, the details are known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing which is very interesting, Hafiz Ibn Kathir clearly believed, which I mentioned, that these three punishments were Madian. the Qawm where these people rejected Shu'ayb. But according to some of the ulama, the punishment of the shadow over the people wasn't Madian. That was another people that Shu'ayb went to. So that's also worth mentioning, because this was another people that he went to. So again, whatever the case, it was certainly Shu'ayb who went there, and they were punished, alayhi salatu wasalam, because they rejected their message. Verse 95. As if they had never dwelt and flourished there. Ah, behold how the Madian were removed from sight, as were removed the Thamud. So look how amazing. Allah Ta'ala links them with Thamud. Now why is he linked them with Thamud? Because the Thamud and Madian, they were in the north and south of the Arabian Peninsula. The Arabs knew them well. So Allah Ta'ala reminds the Makkans, the unbelieving Quraysh, you know both these areas, both of them, good riddance. Meaning, are you also tempting me? I too destroy you, because you're rejecting my most beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I'll recite the verse, and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويا قوم لا يجرمنكم شقاقي أن يصيبكم مثل ما أصاب قوم نوح ما أصاب قوم نوح أو قوم هود أو قوم صالح وما قوم لوط منكم ببعيد واستغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه إن ربي رحيم ودود قالوا يا شعيب ما نفقه قالوا يا شعيب ما نفقه كثيرا مما تقول وإننا نراك فينا ضعيفا ولولا رحمتك لرجمناك وما أنت علينا بعزيز قال يا قوم أرحتي أعز عليكم من الله واتخذتموه وراءكم زحريا إن ربي بما تعملون محيط ويا قوم اعملوا على مكانتكم إني عامل سوف تعلمون من يأتيه عذاب يخزيه ومن هو كاذب وارتقبوا إني معكم رقيب ولما جاء أمرنا نجينا شعيبا والذين آمنوا معه برحمة منا وأخذت الذين ظلموا الصيحة فأصبحوا في ديارهم جاثمين قال لم يغنوا فيها ألا بعدا لمدينة كما بعدت ثمود. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. Amen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat. الله سبحانه وتعالى صدق الله.